So today's topic is dreams in halacha. And when I tell you the truth, when I first chose the topic, I said the parsha, like dreams, sort of jumps out at you. I wasn't talking about yibum. I didn't think that was going to be a halacha l'maisa so much. I guess we're talking about chalitza, but it's not really the parsha. So I think about dreams, and you know, I don't know how much there is in halacha about dreams, but I'm willing to try. And so I think I have enough time to tell you more than one shir's worth after everything is said and done. So the Gemara, fascinatingly enough, the Gemara seems they have this there's a dichotomy in the Gemara, there's this contradiction to the Gemara, how we approach dreams. That dream is real or dream is not real. The Gemara says that every dream has to have something in it which is shov, is not true. The Gemara says the emes in a dream is 1/16th of the whole dream, which on the Forshim suggests it means the idea of 1/16th, it's batel b'shishim. So that's why we use the mashal of 60th. The Gemara says a person who has a dream and he's not sure what it is, he should send them up to the kahanim in the time when they're duchening and be made of the dream, make it better. So the Gemara says that a person who has a dream, he should fast. And the fast is so imperative that even in Shabbos you're allowed to fast. When the person has a tannis cholim, and the Mor says okay, but then he has to fast. Well, the Mor says why? Because it's an oilig for him. He's so worried about the dream, and since the tannis is beneficial for the dream, so the Taz says I understand, but there's a rule that you can't for a tannis have a status of a tannis that you have to accept it upon yourself the day beforehand. Over here, you don't need to. From a Shemayim, they're being meramis to him that he needs to fast by sending him the dream. So it's clearly it's coming from Shemayim. The Gemara says a person has a dream he should go to three people which can be made to have the dream for him. Then the Gemara says, you know, a dream depends on the poiser. The cholemists go after the pet. Depending, the guy says good, it's good, the guy says bad, it's bad. The Gemara brings all these stories about there was an individual named Barhedya, and Barhedya, his business was he was pesach halomus, and if you paid him good, he gave you a good pistol. And if you paid him bad, he gave you a bad pistol. More the whole story again and again and again. The terrible things happen to people because of his pistol. The pistol. So it's up to the pass. It's up to the pass. Like, you know, so what do you have to make of it for? Just don't talk about it. What do you have to send by the kahanim for? Just don't talk about it. So we have this extraordinary approach to dreams. So it seems to be the Ben Bachai in this week's parasha says that there are three types of dreams. The dreams which come because of a person eats, and the different body reacts to the foods, etc. Those we say chalermas shavi the bearer, those chalermas are worthless. Then you have the chalermas which the Mor says that the chalermas are just the hearer the person has during the day. What he thinks about during the day actually comes out at nighttime. And then you have chalemis, which actually can come through a Ruach HaKadosh or a Nevuah, etc. That tells a Rav on this piece. He says that you see from the language which we use that we clearly look at a dream as there's something to it, there's something real. So the dreams which are real, it's not just that they are going to happen in the future. We have to even make them. We have to make them better. It means they exist already. We have to address them. So he gets involved in the concept of the relationship of how things transfer from up in Shemayim down to this world. They exist already, as it were, in time before they actually happen over here, and you can sort of actually vision them in real time as they're being created in Shemayim before they actually come down over here. So there's a reality to them which we have to address. So the Mor actually gives us three options of how to address a chalom which is problematic, and the one option is going to the kahanim and when the kahanim are duchening and be made of it. The Mor says the second option. The Mor says is what's known as hatavas chalom. You can go to somebody, three people, and they will be made of the chalom. And the third option is fasting. Now the Mor does not seem to give a clear rule when you use what. So the Mor says like this. The Mor says that which we say that you should use it for when the kahanim are duchening is referring to the case where I don't know what the dream actually said. I remember what it said, or I don't know whether it was good or bad. So then, the process of while the kahanim are duchening, it's a time which it's appropriate, and it has the ability and the power to change the dream from bad to good. Those are four. the person actually grapple with, let's say I know the dream is bad. Will this process work? And they assume that it does, but then the appropriate thing to do when the dream is bad is to go to the three mativim, and they're going to change it into good for you. So that's, you know that it's. And then you have a tainus chalom. Now, a tainus chalom. So it's brought down in Siman Resh Peches that there's a certain criteria that you have to meet to know that you feel definitely this is a chalom emes to be worried about it. So, because we're allowing this tainus even on Shabbos. Yeshar Misha Yoshin Tina Sarayim. No, that's not what I'm looking for. That the language of the. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch in Resh Peches Sif Hei says that there's those who argue this is actually Mordechai. You only may sound the Tanis Chalom B'Shabbos if you saw the dream three times. Number one. And number two, that if the Chalom was somebody else saw the Chalom about you, so it wasn't because of your Hurim, etc., but somebody else had this dream about you.
In addition to your seeing it three times?
No. It seems, right? Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure about that. It seems to me that those two are separate from each other. Preferably, it's only a chalom which is seen right before the morning, as opposed to a chalom which is seen early in the evening, early at night. Then, if the person has a reaction, a negative, they're concerned about it. If they're not concerned about it, it didn't make that effect upon the person. It's indicative of the fact that it's a chalom you have to worry about. So there are multiple things which you have to take into consideration before we say that. Okay, now Rabbi said, go. You have to go to the dream. You have to go to the fasting. Even that, it says that a person has the modern day poskim really do not recommend fasting because people are not really. If it's going to in some way diminish your avodah, you don't accomplish it. You don't accomplish what you want to accomplish. So preferably, a person should be parted with staka, do the process of atava, and some people suggest maybe a tainus dibur, etc. But at least there's such a concept. Now the Shulchan Aruch says that there's a yesh arba that there's only three dreams which are significant enough that you have to be misani even on Shabbos. One of them is a person sees chasom a sefer Torah which would be burning. Or he sees Yom Kippur, he sees Shas in the Ila. So if he dreams, you know, it's the middle of the year, he sees a picture of Yom Kippur, Shas in the Ila. Right? Why are you seeing Yom Kippur, Shas in the Ila? I mean, there's a din in Shemayim against you at that point in time. Or he sees the Karas Besoy or Shinov Shanofli. He's seeing the beams of his house or his teeth falling out. Then there's Yesh Arbim, you see Yom Kippur even not B'Shas Ne'ilo, some see the same Torah being read, etc. But the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara has a whole list of things which are negative. It says all of those go into this rule as well. Now, again, with the poskim assuming nowadays, it's one of the Siddur HaShulchan has a fascinating idea. He says, a chalom which came because of a hero doesn't have this effect. So, you know, you used to live in the shtetl. You knew that there were 25 people in the shtetl. You know, the biggest news in town was that somebody had a baby, or the cow had a baby, or the cow died. Right? Nowadays, the person reads the newspaper. So, whatever you're harboring, the more it says you have a chalom b'laylah. So, all you have to do is read the front page of the newspaper. They have enough horrible things to dream about that you're going to dream of who knows what. So, even though you don't realize it, it goes into the subconscious, and you dream about it at nighttime. So, he says that nowadays we know about the chadashot. You know, we're hearing about it all over the place, etc. The world is a little village nowadays. The whole world, so it doesn't have. We don't have to worry about it. If a person wants to be mative, the option is to be mative. So what is the process of a tov? A person gets the three people which should be his oyhabav, which should be people who's like him. So therefore they're going to want to give a positive spin on the dream. Actually, the Barmanel says that Yosef went to the brothers, he had a dream, he wasn't sure what it meant, But his brothers, of course, they love him. That's, he assumed that they love him. So they're going to be made. They're going to say a good pishrut on the dreams. That's what he was hoping for, right? So you should go to people which are ayavov. It doesn't have to be. It's a bezdin, but it doesn't have to be a bezdin which is kosher. It could be even relative. If there's actually no gedolim available, you could even use katanim. And you say tell. Now, we in general we try and say things in a positive spin. The Mora says, you know, the word good. Chalmatava means I saw a bad dream. You don't say I had a bad dream because you don't want to say something negative. So you say Chalmatava Chazoy, and they say back, there's a process which is brought down in the Siddurim, exactly the whole process. And then they say, now we as a Bezin are going to that is good. So the rule is what Bezin Shalmata puts into effect becomes a status. So you made the dream from bad to good.
They don't interpret the dream.
Actually, it's referred to, if it's a negative dream, you should not say it over. Because kolomers are akrapeh, it's better not to talk about it. There's another option, which the Aruch HaShulchan says actually can supplant the hatav. If you go to a person who's a talmid chacham who knows what he's doing, and he goes to him and he says a positive spin on the dream, there's no need to be made to the Aruch HaShulchan says, because kolomers are akrapeh. Once the chacham is poser, it is good. It's good.
It's going to a Beit Din for something like this unique. I mean, because it's the dreams from Shemayim. To say that a Beit Din's going to reverse.
Isn't unique.
There are other examples
of it. For example, the idea of a cherem. A cherem is even though it's done down here, but a cherem is something which has a heavenly effect. And Bezin will actually, once Bezin removes the cherem, it changes.
Right, but it's initiated down here. I mean, even the.
So there actually is a case in the Mor in the Dorma, a person who had a dream about being put in cherem. And the Mora says that the Bezin, the Mora says over there, you need a minion actually to remove it. Three people is not enough. A person would dream that he was put in cherem. He needs 3 people to remove it, 10 people to remove it. Mm-hmm. So we do have such a concept of that Bezin down here has some power, or people down here have power to affect it.
With the Chacham to be made that you'd have to tell the Chacham.
Correct, you would over there, you would tell him, right. But something you know that he would want to find a positive spin, and you know, and find a way to have a positive spin in it. I mean, the Morris has some interesting cases. The Morris is a person, you know, has a picture that his wife dies. That means, you know, that's something good. The Morris is like, really, you know, the Morris has a way to put a positive spin. The things that you thought were like totally benign, the Morris makes them horrible. The things you thought were like horrible, the Morris makes them good. Like, you know, it's a fascinating Morris. The whole thing with it. There's actually, you can get, there's a chart if you want, you know, the way all the cases, the Aleph Beis, you know, what's good, what's bad, like everything comes with you know, pretty soon it'll be available with right the bindle, you know, available, etc., you know, okay. I'm sorry, my cynicism is coming out. You have an option of being made to it with the Kahanim, so what do you do with Chutz La'aretz? So that doesn't, actually, one thing which is important, that till which we said, the Rebbe Shalom, the Mordechai doesn't say 3 times, the Mordechai says say it once. Once is sufficient. Even if the Kahanim are not singing, it's preferable to do it when the Kahanim are singing, but if they're not singing, you can do it when the Chazan is saying it to them, and you say words, pause. When the Kahanim are saying the words of the Duchening, you have to listen to them. There's a bit to say, the Reis, according to the Charedim, to listen to the Kahanim, and the Shabur brings it down. So you wouldn't want to listen. Yisrael has a mitzvah to actually listen to the Kahanim. So he shouldn't be davening then. If he doesn't finish by then, he can finish in the paragraph of Zim Shalom. That's how the Ramos says, I'll take it a step weiter. Even if there's no Kahanim, when the Chazan is saying over the Nusach which we say in davening, Chutz La'aretz, Elokeinu Melech Hamasinu, Baruch Hashem Baruch Hamashaleshes. So when the Chazan is saying that, you can say that the Tefillah of Ribbono Shel Olam any time in the year. Magaram brings to the Zohar, however, that is brought down from the Zohar, that there should be no speech from the time we finish that Elokeinu Melech Hamasinu, Shalom until you say Tachanun. So on the day that you're saying Tachanun, the Magaram says that Zohar trumps. You should not be davening at that. But you can start as soon as the Chazan starts the words Elokeinu, you can start saying it. You maybe you can get it in. The poison grapple, if you get the whole thing in, you want to add some more. I've never had that experience in my life, but I got the whole thing in plus extra time. I don't know. Some people seem to be more facile in reading words than I am. I was like, I never figured it out. But on a day you're not saying Tachanun, you know, then you can continue, so that's not an issue. It's interesting that Magen Ram brings the Zohar to trump this Ramah that you should not say it then. And the Bush also quotes it. That the point of the Zohar would override this. On 2 days Yom Tov, So the second your person had a dream, which he remembers, but he can't remember what it means. So he was made to it on the first day. By the way, the kahanim duchens, he had no dream the next night. He doesn't say Rebbe Shalom the next day. There's no need to. It's not a keep saying it just in case. It worked. So there's no reason to say it the second day. So the person then suggests maybe you should say it, because in the nusa which we say three possibilities: that I had a dream of myself, I had a dream of somebody else, or somebody else had a dream about me. So I didn't have a dream that night, but maybe somebody out there had a dream about me somewhere. So it's worthwhile to say it because of that possibility. It seems to the Ikar B'Sakos, you don't say it. The Goyen says in the third time this idea of the Sihirotzim, which we bring down from a Kabbalistic Sefer called the Shaar Tzion. Goyen Pasanali, that you say Rebbe Shalom all three times. The more it talks about saying this Tefillah B'Sha'as Duchening, nothing else.
You should say the Baruch Shalom all three times during Berachos Kahanim.
Berachos Kahanim, when the Kahanim are duchening.
Right.
So most of them have Berachos Kahanim the first time, the second time, the third time. They have this Yirotzen about Parnosa, etc. So the Gross is not like that. The
Gross
is.
I never say this. And the.
Yeah, I understand why.
I thought the Gross doesn't thinks the whole thing is a hefzer. Yeah, I thought he doesn't hold it the same Berachos Kahanim at all.
Interesting question.
What I was taught.
That's why in Eretz Yisrael they don't.
Also, okay.
Well, this is from Rabbi Kanatovsky, who's no longer alive, but he told his congregation when I was there that we really shouldn't say it, and the focus should be on what the Kohanim are saying.
So the Gro's point over there was that there's those psukim that you people say, that's a problem. But when the Kohanim are pausing and are singing,
maybe that's what he said. I don't know.
When the Kohanim are pausing and singing, it doesn't seem the Gro seems to have a problem with that. That which
that's when Arch Gross is saying
that. Right. Saying that you have the old Machzorim, they have like all these psukim over there. I don't know if you've ever noticed
that. After each word.
After each word.
Right.
So that's what the Groh was mocked
by. But I thought like the Minhag Eretz Yisrael is not to say it also. They just go straight through.
Minhag Eretz Yisrael is not to say it.
That was the Minhag Groh.
So I don't know. I'm not sure what that's about. You know, in the Sardim also, in the Yimchus Lord, the Sardim Duchen every day. They don't say it. I'm not sure why. Why don't they? You know, there's a deal in the Gro. The Gro has a problem with the singing of the Kahanim. That's a problem. He holds it might be a half singing. Once the Kahanim are singing, me saying something is not a problem. It's the Kohen's problem, not mine. You know? Well, sort of. If the Kohen's bracha doesn't work, it didn't work for me either. But what were they talking about before we got up to the Gross three times? One time.
The Yirat's unusual.
Right. So, what does a Kohen do? So, the Kohen is. I have my Kohanim over here.
Good question.
Right. So, you have the option of Hatava, which that a person can do. You have the option of going to Chochem to be Poiseret. There seems to be that when the Kohanim are not Duchening, the same way the Rosh says that Yisrael can say that, a Kohen can also say it then. Now, there's still that's not an option because they're always duchening. But Chutz Lords, the Ramah would be relevant for a Kayan as much as relevant for a non Kayan.
What does that mean?
The Ramah says that this Tefillah Rebbeinu Shalom you can say, which can be made to Mechaloyim. I don't know if you ever looked at it, even probably. You ever looked at it?
Yeah, I looked at it.
Yeah. Right? So the Ramah says that tomorrow morning, let's say a person has a bad dream, has a dream, he's not sure about tonight what it meant.
Say it during. When the
Chazan Engel came to the center, you could say it, so the Kohen could do that too. Right?
How do you fit it in there, though, until to finish it by Sim Shalom?
It depends where you're davening. depends who your bar tefillah is. I'll tell you a maisa. I'm not going to say the name of the God, Adam Godel, but I heard this maisa from my brother in law, who heard it from his Harusa, who was the person it happened to. So this Harusa is, there was an Adam Godel. One mamash, one of the Gedolei Hador, had three extremely close talmidim, and these three talmidim, they were. He was an Iluy, they were all Iluyim. There was like a very special relationship. Eventually, they moved. The person with the Gadol was Nifter, and they moved away. So, my brother-in-law was learning with this one of these he was paying me to learn with them. They were learning in the mornings before davening, And one morning this person comes in, and he's like mamash physically shaking. He says, "What is everything okay?" He says, he had a dream last night that his Rebbe came to him in the dream. And the Rebbe said to him, he says, you know, he said so-and-so. He says, you know, I'm here at Shemaim. I need somebody to mishamash me. I want you to come be mishamash me. So he said in the dream, what's going to happen to my wife and my children? He says, I promise you, your wife and children will be taken care of. Everything will be fine, but I want you to come be mishamash me. So he said, Rebbe, I can't do it. Why don't you go to so-and-so or so-and-so, the two other group and ask them. Nice. This is in the dream. Right? So he had the dream. And he woke up. He was like, it was real to him. So he called that Gadol's son-in-law, who was you know, his Mamala Malkum, and said, what do I do? He says, you answered in the dream that you're not, that, you know, that you refuse, so you're safe. But so-and-so that you spoke about, you should inform him, and he should fast. Now, the Mishabura's actual lashon is that a case where you have a dream of somebody else, the chaylim should be misana. If the chaylim, for whatever reason, can't be misana, so then the one you dreamt about should be misana. But the Mishabura says that the chaylim should be misana. So, one of the explanations is, though, so why, when I heard that mice, I was like, why did he say that the person who had the dream should be misana? So then I hopped. If you look at the one of the reasons that the Mishabura occurs is in a Taz, I think, he says because sometimes you're dreaming of somebody else, but really it's about you. That's why you have to be Misana. But over here, what the Gadol was saying was that you answered Beferish, it's probably not about you. And now it is about the other person, so that other person would have to fast. Okay, let's hold it here.